Blog Talk Radio.
Right. Good evening. Good morning. Grand Rising. All praises to the God of Abram, to the Elohim of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, to his descendants, to Yeshua, Yahusha, to the Holy Ruach. All praises to Jacob, Jacob, who is fighting to be Yisrael. Shout outs to all the brethren and sisters that are in this walk, leading by example, doing the things that they are meant to do in this time of resurrection and redemption. Praises. So, tonight, here we go. Stay the course. As the world flips into darkness and the great glory shines upon us, stay the course. We don't need to be entertaining the wretchedness of the nations. We need to stay the course. We, as we know, are being blessed, are being shown a new way, which is an old way, but a new way to us. The Father has given us our free will back. See, we have had a suppression and oppression of our free will. This is what the church has done. This is what the heathen has done. This is what the Gentiles have done. This is what the foolish nations have done. This is what all the nations have done. They have suppressed our free will. That's why today you got all these other nations coming at us. I mean, shoot, if we ain't nothing, as they say, why do you keep coming at us? When we waking up, it's like we waking up and you coming at us. Like, doesn't even make sense. If we weren't nothing, as you say, and, you know, these nations are something, as they say, then it would be no reason for them to come at us. I mean, shoot, if I knew that I was right, it wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't care if somebody felt like they were right when they're wrong. I wouldn't be entertaining them. I wouldn't worry about what they're doing. That's not my business. I will keep my eyes on the prize, which is the Father and my business, he and I. Who do I care about their business for? Although I have to understand their way so that I cannot partake of it. That's where we've come. That's where we are. That's where, you know, I've done this, I've read this before, but this is where we've come to. We've come full circle. We have come from Thomas Jefferson reflections of indeed I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever, that considering numbers, nature, and natural means only, a revolution of the wheel of fortune, an exchange of situation is among possible events, that it may become probable by supernatural interference. See, we just need to maintain our own walk and continue to reflect, self-reflect, self-convict, and self-correct on the justice that the Father is bringing. I mean, that's what all this is about. It's all about justice. I mean, they have sat back for such a long time and said that they wield justice, even though, you know, their justice is blind, their justice is imbalanced, but somehow they wield justice. And that's what they've had. They've had the ability to do that, and that's what they suppressed. When they brought forth their justice, they had to suppress what? Our free will. See, free will is the gift. That's the gift. Why? Because the free will allows you to choose. You can't blame. You can't piggyback on. You can't, you can't hide behind. You can't follow. No. You have to make the decision and the choice. All this information that's coming out, all the information that's still coming out in regards to how they operated, their operations was wicked. That's what the Seal Portion was talking about, their secret combinations. They would go behind closed doors and make agendas against us, make oaths, blood oaths against us. Not against, their own people. Not against the other nations, their allies, but against us. That's why we couldn't figure it out. We weren't allowed to figure it out because we had lost part of the main part of our demise was our free will. We had to lose that free will. Once we lost the free will, we had to lose our heritage. Once we lost the free will, we lost the heritage. Once we lost the heritage, we lost the land. Once we lost the lands, we lost our Elohim. Once we lost our Elohim, we became nothing, lowly. But the great glory and the great joy and the Jacobian rapture is that now we begin to feel the joy, to see the joy, to gain the blessings again. That's the rapture. I'm gonna do that because I know a lot of brothers is doing this, but I wanna say this too because I just wanna hop in this because this is key to the whole. This is key to it. This is so the rapture that they have been proclaiming is their great joy isn't their great joy. The rapture is the great joy of Jacob fighting to become Israel. That's why I said Jacob's trouble, but he will be saved out of it. It's still Jacob's trouble. There's nothing else but Jacob's trouble. Jacob has been in trouble. I said this before. He had said, I am Esau from that point forward, and that's Genesis 27. I'll find it in a little bit, but Genesis 27, he said when Isaac said, well, who is this? He said, I am Esau. So we've been running around proclaiming to be Esau. Esau's been running around proclaiming to be us. It's been a confluence of triflingness. No one knows who they are. Everybody's disoriented. Esau believing that he's Jacob, suppressing the free will of Jacob, Jacob. Yaakov not understanding that he's Yaakov, but thinking that he's Esau because he wants the blessings. Not understanding that he's got to fight for that blessing because he used a type of deception to gain that blessing, even though it was going to be his, but it wasn't. It wasn't done properly. That's the thing. It's like it's not what you say. It's how you say it. It's not what you do. It's how you do it. So here we are full circle, the fullness of the gospel, the fullness of the Gentile, the fullness of the circle of the Father is now back upon us, and we now get to have our free will. Now, as we gain our free will, so do they. So when Jacob has free will, the whole world has free will, because you got to remember that when our free will was taken, everybody else's was taken because the lie had to be full, there had to be a fullness of the lie. So as we were lied to and not understanding and not understood as to who we were, the other nations had to believe that they were something else. Moreover, they had to believe that they were us. We had to believe that they were them. So there was this great deception that was upon us that brought forth our demise of our free will. But the great glory and the great promise is back to where we now gain that free will to do what? Make a choice. And, you know, that's where it comes into full view, because at the end of the day, your choice is yours. The choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with that. I think that's very whack, whack, whack. That's them. They are whack. You know, we're hearing the oaths. We're hearing the history. The thing that they fought against here recently, the history, regardless of whether or not they wanted to lie about it, change it, it still came out. And it's not only just coming out, it's coming out in droves. It's like the dam has busted and all of the knowledge has poured out. Isn't that fitting that we're getting to the age of Aquarius, coming out of the Piscean age, and here we are with this outpouring of knowledge? And the heathens and the Gentiles and the foolish nations believe that they can stop it. Now let me digress a second. This is how foolish the nations are. They want us to believe. Okay. Now, time out. So America went to the moon in 68, 69, whatever they lie, whatever lies that they said, whatever date lie that they said they went to the moon, they said they went to the moon. Okay. Excuse me. So now all of a sudden, here go Russia to the moon. Now all of a sudden, here goes India to the moon. All of a sudden, here comes China to the moon. Now the funny thing is that America said, "Oh well, we don't have that information no more. That knowledge, I mean, that information, the way we got there, that's gone. We destroyed that. All of a sudden, but all these other nations are gone. Now everybody going to the moon. Now everybody put some on the moon. Now." Why is that now that they're trying to say that they are now able to go to the moon? Because that signifies dominance, superiority, and it's a mocking to the U.S. Because again, the U.S. said, NASA said, we destroyed all that information and we no longer have it to go back to the moon, and to do it again, it would take a great feat to put all that information back together. Well, mind you, our people helped them with the mathematics to say that they went to the moon, in quotes, quote, 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 gone to the moon, okay? But somehow, now everybody going to the moon. Superiority, dominance. It's showing that the exchange of situation is not among possible events, but is the event today. This is what we're seeing. The exchange of situation is of today. And it's interesting because I'm watching people, you know, quick testimony here. You know, my career in this world, corporate America, was to underwrite loans. That's what I initially came after I played professional soccer. The father allowed me to have that opportunity to do so, and then he let me get into sales, and then I became a inbound lender. Did that. Katrina hit. This was in Louisiana. Katrina hit, and I was seeing that the bigger picture is to make decisions, not just be part of the process, but to actually have the power or the authority, and that's what I wanted. The father put that on my heart to say I want to be able to help people, because during the Katrina situation, there was nothing I could do, and I heard, it was sad situation. People were struggling, and then, you know, hear the stories, to hear the situations, people begging, pleading for help, and there was really nothing I could do based on the situation because I had no authority. Well, from that point forward, I knew that I needed to be on the other side of the industry in order to help people to help people in obtaining the what they needed, okay, not just to be part of the process. So anyway, Father blessed me at that time to be able to do that, and it was an up and down scenario. In Louisiana, there's not many Negroes that are in those positions of power. That just never occurred, okay? And here I am fighting the good fight, early 2000s, in the racist state, number one, then number two, Mississippi. I know they probably wasn't what, but Mississippi, Arkansas, Alabama, Georgia, okay? But Florida, all of Texas, Vidor, Orange, these places where they did not care for us. But here I am, dark as hell, living on faith, living for the Father, but wicked as hell because I didn't know any better. And the Father allowed me to follow my heart and what I wanted to do. I did it, got laid off, got another job, laid off, learned valuable information, made it to Charlotte, ups and downs in the industry here, do well for a few years and laid off, do well for a few years and laid off. Finally, from nothing, I become a officer of the bank, VP underwriting, the only underwriter, COVID hits. I go from underwriting 20 loans to 65 overnight, building the portfolio of this bank, having great authority, helping many people, only to be told that they're outsourcing it because, the industry, the rates were going up. Okay, that was March, end of March. I sat back and I said, okay, Father, you tell me what I'm to do in this situation. Yeah, they gave me severance. They gave me the opportunity to survive for a time. That's what he told them to do, and they did it, and it helped. But I realized as I was looking for another position, I realized that this is not what I wanted to do, and I really wanted to get on the commercial side. And the Father blessed me from that point of me making that decision. In February, he blessed me with a commercial position at a very large bank here in my area. And I have superseded, I'm still an officer of the bank, and I've superseded my wildest dreams of anything I had thought of, all praises to the Father. And because of that, I'm now able to understand and see the journey that I've taken. And now that I've realized that this journey is all for reasons unbeknownst to me, for me to do something for the Father in these positions that I'm in, because each step of the way, that's what I've been doing. And, now all of a sudden, I'm looking at people looking at me as a man. As a man. Now, I could get in my ego on that. I could be, it's about me, this is what I do. I'm going to make this happen. Mm-mm. No, not this time. Not this time, because this is not it's my free will. It's my choice. But this was not my doing, all the Father's doing. And my testimony on that is to say to people that, hey, now that we are being blessed, we cannot forget to give great joy and great praise and worship our Father. We cannot forget that. Now, what does rapture mean? This is what I mean. So I'm in a state of rapture, a feeling of intense pleasure or joy. You think that these foolish nations are in a feeling of intense pleasure of joy? I mean, yeah, they are in their carnality because that's where they are. They are carnal beings, so they see things through the carnality. So, you know, sticking things in them and opening, you know, doing the things, that doing the debaucherous things that they do gives them great pleasure and joy for that moment. And then afterwards, they hemmed up. Not right. You know, they got to, you got to, because you got to be, you got to lose your state of mind to be able to be as debaucherous, as debaucherous as these people are in their carnality. I mean, everywhere I look, the young and the old, it's funny. Here we are on a great awakening, a great spiritual awakening. And yet, they didn't all, last couple weekends, all over the earth to some degree, or at least in the Americas area, they've been having these, our people have been having these parties. It's mocha parties, I think, something like that. Debaucherous. And yet, you know, here we, and it's old women. Young women, old men, it's like, come on, guys. At some point, when are we going to stand up for our power, our Father? When are we going to stand up in righteousness? It's not all about sex. It's not all about the ass. It's not all about the boobs, the jang-jang. I mean, at some point, when are you going to grow up? And then I thought to myself, I said, Father, is this how it's always going to be? You know, I said, no. Don't forget the 2/3. I got 2/3 that I got to deal with. But hey, and he said, but hey, that's not your business. So I said, hey, you're right, that ain't my business. So I moved on, gave great glory, cried and praised and thanked him for my journey and my testimony. That's why last week I was talking about the testimony and the testament. This is what we're set up for. Not everybody. This ain't going to be for everybody. This is not everybody's walk. We got into this walk. Look at where we come from. We got into this walk, and it was all black people this and all white people that. Now, all the way to this point to say, you know what, this is about the few. This is a very few grouping of people. This is what it's about. It's a few of us. It's not everybody. It's not everybody. And you know what? It ain't our business for it to be everybody. We're not here. I'm not here, personally speaking. I'm not here to save anybody. I'm not here to wake anybody up. I'm here to encourage, to maintain your walk. That's it. I'm here for encouragement because, you know, it's tough, and it's only going to get tougher. These niggas talking about they going to the moon. Are you crazy? Come on, man. We already know. See, and it's funny how the nations that are saying that, the people are oppressed. The people are suppressed over there. So, of course, they got to say, you know what, we're going to the moon. Yay! That's why America can't do it, because our bonds are broken. They're broken. Their people, the foolish nation's people, are now waking up as well, and it's funny to watch the awakening. Like, we've been awoke, we have woken up, oh, golly, how does that even sound? I don't know if that's proper. But we have been in this walk since, many of us have been in this walk since 2014, 15, 16. And we have been in this, and we have seen the ebbs and flows of it, the ups and downs. We've gained a lot of insight, a lot of knowledge. We've gained a lot of understanding, understanding, and overstanding of ourselves. And now we've reached the pinnacle of the next phase. While we look back, or we look around, rather, and we see people, brothers and sisters, young and old, we see so-called black and white people, young and old, talking about things that we talked about years ago. So you can see the cycle. You can see how it's moving. You can see the wave of wisdom. You can see the wave of wisdom coming. And it's like a tsunami. And it was slow buildup. I mean, it was slow for us. Now this thing is upon us, and we swimming through it. We surfing it. We're surfing this wave of wisdom because we found the truth. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't, our boards can't break or we can't drown, but we have to continue to surf it. We have to continue to seek it. We have to continue to ride the wave of wisdom, the way, the will of the Father. We can't get away from that. It's like walking on water. You know, now we're walking on water. But the moment that we doubt, the moment that we forget, the moment that we don't give great praise, we drown. I mean, don't you see all this stuff happening around us? People are drowning. They are suffering. And yet, you know, well, that dude got $1 million. No, but his mind is in suffrage mode, his or her. I mean, you can tell, look at him. I mean, let's just take Britney Spears for a moment. Look at how demented she is. I mean, girl, you're 40 years old, you dance on a pole, you look strung out, you look bad, you don't even look good. You sound terrible, look terrible. I mean, you know, the carnality has really taken a toll on these people. Hollywood, like all of them are on strike because they want more money. Wait, I thought Hollywood was rich. I know that thou is rich. I know your trials and tribulations, but thou art rich, talking to us. But we thought that they were rich. But now we realize that we rich. Rich in spirit. Like that is worth more than gold. Now, you got the bricks. Okay, so let me back up. So this mortgage industry thing. Okay. Rates are at 8%. This has been my job for a long time. Now I'm on the commercial side of it, and there's something different happening there. But the mortgage side of it used to be you refinanced in the first and second quarter. In the third and fourth quarter, that's when you purchased, okay? And you refinanced in the first and second, and you bought and you purchased in the third and fourth. So what transpired here in the last 3 years, and this is how the Father really stuck it to them, because during the COVID times, the rates were so low, 2.5. So if you were savvy, like they were given 2.5, the rates got low, so as low as 2.5. If you were had a 720 credit score, you could get a 2.8. You could then turn around and buy down your rate, okay? Buy down your rate to 1.5, to 1.8, okay? Okay, so everyone did that. Everyone that had a 720 did that. So you can imagine all these so-called rich people, these people who had the means and the ends to do this, did it. But those same people were the ones that were propping up, if you will, the ones that were doing always doing the refinancing. Why? Because they were refinancing debt, they were refinancing automobiles, they were refinancing HELOCs, home equity lines of credit, they were HELOCing their kids' student loans, they were refinancing everything. That's just how the world worked up until 2023, okay? That's how, really, up until really the end of 2022, this is how it was working. But what the system did, this is why the system is corruptible and being is and is in free fall right this moment. What the system did was it was so greedy that when the rates were so low, all of the self-employed, the investors, the people with money went and bought up all this land, went and bought up all these homes, went and bought up all the foreclosed homes, all the homes that people were struggling to keep. They went and bought them and made people and became landlords. Okay? And as they did that, the inventory was knocked out. It was less because now instead of home ownership, you had to rent. It reminded me back in the day of the redlining, how the GI Bill, right? They got our brothers and sisters, or really our brothers that came out of the war, they were not able to go into the suburbs to own. They had to go stay in the city and rent. So that's what's happened now. Okay? So now the rates are so high that nobody is refinancing. You would be a fool to refinance at this moment. The refinance from a 2.5% to an 8%. You're losing money. The money that's not even worth anything. You're already losing it. You're tripling your losses right now. You're doubling your losses, which is interesting because, give them double. They're going to get double, right? Because they doubled down. They took their money. They were so prideful and arrogant that they took the money. They took their paper money back. The money, they took the backing away from the money, the reserves, the gold, the resources away from the money because of their pride and arrogance of, can't nobody bring us down? Can nobody bring us down? I said a queen, a king. I said a god. My money will always be. And now here comes the BRICS. Here comes the antithesis of the West, the East. Here comes the East. Here comes the East. Thinking that they're going to reign forever. They're in for a rude awakening themselves. But at the end of the day, all of this is the exchange of situation. We just have to maintain our disposition in this because it's going to piss us off. It's going to get us upset, not what the Father's doing, but how the people are acting. Because they're going to be scared. This dude on TikTok came at me talking about, because I was like, DNA, why would I believe this? The people who have lied, cheated, and stole all their life, their entire existence, why would I believe their science of DNA? It doesn't make sense. This dude, oh, you scared. You scared of what you may find. I said, well, listen, it's okay. I'm not scared. I already know what I will find, but I'm not scared. But I know that you have some fear. That's why you are scared of what I'm saying. It goes back to what I was saying earlier. Why are you in my business, man? Why are you worrying about me not believing or trusting these people? Why are you worrying about that? If you, and this was supposedly so-called Native American, if you are a so-called Native American, and I'm talking about the Indo-Europeans, degenerate lies, you should be on my team, period. Like, you shouldn't even, there's no reason for you to come against my lawyer, none. You should be like, yeah, I don't trust these people either. Boom. Now we're on the same team. But instead, you want to come against me, talking about I'm scared of what I might find. I might, because his innuendo that I'm African. And I keep saying the same thing. I keep, just like Brother Judah keep asking the same question. On whose authority does it say that we're only supposed to read 66 books? What I say is, where in Africa are we from? Like, stop telling me we African. Show me the receipts. Show me the records. Show me the logs. Show me the manifest. Show me that we are from a specific nation in Africa. Stop telling me about Africa. I don't want to hear about that whack-ass land. I don't. Because if you're telling me that I'm from Africa, then therefore I should have a nation there that's waiting for me to come back. But I don't see no nation talking about me. I see them talking about themselves. I see them talking about being part of the BRICS. I see them hating on the U.S. Okay. But, hey, but I'm African-American. I'm African-American. That's what my DNA tests say. And they're like, nigga, please, you work for UPS. And I'm going, but wait, I thought I was African American. Nah, nigga, you ain't us. Trying to maintain the confusion. So they think that they can break us, but we about to break them. Our spirits are strong because we are not them. We are them people. That's why it's so funny to me. It's like, if you can't see this by now, let me get some water. It's like, I mean, I think it's Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, if you don't know me by now. If you don't know by now, I mean, you better ask somebody. And if you don't ask nobody, that's your problem. Matter of fact, it ain't your business. Because we are now at the precipice of the fundamental change that everyone in the beginning of their empire knew was going to come, but they kept kicking that can down the road. They all knew it. They knew that there was going to come a time where things would be different. But they were like, it ain't going to happen on our watch, so I ain't worried about it. Kill them niggas. Lie, cheat, and steal, take. But now we under this rapture. The Jacobians and the Ephraimites are under a great feeling of intense pleasure and joy. We are being raptured out of the oppression that has befell us. This is why they knew that they could not stop this, but what they knew was that if they kept us in a delusioned state of mind, an oppressed, suppressed state of mind, we would never wake up thinking of who we are. Oh, you niggas just African Americans. But now we're asking questions. We're just asking questions. And they're not giving no answers. So because they're not giving no answers, what's coming up? The Father's going, I'm giving you answers. And we're going, oh, really? Who goes, ah, is that true? And the Father goes, yeah, check out this book. See, because it's funny, like, oh, it's a book. Well, listen, there was no TV, there was no video. That's what they used. They used books to write down the truth back in the day. This is what they did. So now we get to, and not to mention that, we're the only people on the face of the earth that was told not to read. And if we did read, we'd be killed. So now we reading and they mad at us? See, this is the exchange of situation. This is why they're struggling. And again, these baby boomers who have lived deliciously off of us, now they are struggling. I'm looking at this pharmaceutical thing. Who's taking all these pharmaceuticals? Every time I look at a pharmaceutical ad, it's these baby boomers. Stay alive. Take this drug. Stay alive drug. This drug will keep you here forever. Don't die drug. And it's like, but it may kill you. You know, and it's like, come on, you guys, what is this, baby boomers? You guys have lived, listen, the baby boomers are holding on to over $2 trillion What do you think that? Why do you think the fathers allowed the BRICS to do what they do? Because these baby boomers are the problems. Why? They are the seed of the most racist, hateful people on the planet. Yes, the Spanish Inquisition and these churches, those are some hateful devils, but nothing like what these devils did over here. And these baby boomers are the seed of these beasts. You don't think the father justice? What did Thomas Jefferson say? When I reflect that God is just, whoa, that's deep, because that is justice. Or if you want to look at it another way, that is just us. This thing is not even hard anymore. It's like it's not difficult. But the difficult part is going to be for us to not entertain their demand. That's why, you know, I've been talking about, you know, self-correction a lot, you know, because we gotta correct our mindset, our thought process. We got to correct how we see things, what we think, how we speak. We got to correct all of that, because the carnality is in us. It's always been about us. They made us carnal animals. They said we were savages. So we had to, you know, as a man thinketh, so does a man do. So this is how they, Balaam in the story, and how they did. You can't curse them straight away. You got to get them to curse themselves. This is what we've been doing. We've been cursing ourselves. The Father has let them because he took our free will away. He took our free will away. But now he's giving it back. And as he's given our free will back, he's given their free will back to make a decision. Listen, you know that something ain't right. You know that these black people ain't animals, and you know that slavery was wrong, but none of you guys want to touch it. None of you guys want to talk about it. You guys want to hide the things that went on. They don't even know. They didn't even know. They don't even know what their people did to us, because that was kept from majority of them. That's why when old boy Thomas said, when he was trembling, look, trembling, he was, oh God, when I reflect that God is just, that his justice. What do we want? Justice. We ain't interested in equality. We ain't interested in freedom. We are interested in justice. Just us. And this is how it's going to go down. And he's like, okay, you guys, you foolish nations, because my people acted a donkey, I let you guys do certain things. Now I'm giving them back their awareness. I'm giving them back their understanding, their understanding, their overstanding. So now you got to make a decision. Now the choice is yours. Goes back to the choice is yours. So you can get with this or you can get with that. And the people are going, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that this isn't true? This isn't true. See, and that was the end game. That's why we have had the ability to withstand all of their madness. Oh, you niggas ain't this. You niggas ain't that. Oh, you guys are slaves. Oh, we had the ability to withstand it because we understood the end game. The end game was that at some point they were going to find out the truth. And they were going to be in shock. And they're going to have to make a decision. They're going to get their free will back. And that twinkling of an eye, they're going to be like, oh, you mean to tell me we've been lied to? And the answer is going to come to them. It's going to flood in on them. It's going to be that tsunami wave that's going to just flood into them. It's going to be like, yes. And they're going to be struggling. The joy. We have great joy. Like, we have shalom. We are looking for shalom. We want shalom. We want the peace. We've never had the peace. Why the hell would they get, why would they get a rapture, a feeling of intense pleasure or joy at the end? Why? What have the nations, what have the foolish nations done to deserve a rapture? See, these are the questions that we get to ask now. Oh, well, the rapture's coming. You know, we're going to be raptured up, you know, with Christ in the sky. Well, wait, time out. Christ is coming down to judge the nation. So how are you going to be raptured up with Christ to go in? See, that's madness. That is not accurate interpretation. Matter of fact, that is demonic interpretation. Rapture, a feeling of intense pleasure or joy. So this is according to some millenarian teaching. I'm going to read it properly. According to some foolish nation teaching, the transporting of believers to heaven at the second coming of Christ. Where is that? Transporting of believers to heaven. And the dead in Christ shall rise with Christ to come back and put the wood to the foolish nations. Where is this? Everybody going to heaven. Where is that? See, that's where, you know, and I'm not even tripping on all of this. I'm just making the point of that we who have ears to hear and eyes to see have to stay resolute in our journey because it's about to get tricky. There's going to be foolish nation people running around like chickens with their head cut off, trying to show everything. And listen, foolish nation is our people too. We're foolish ninjas. Straight up, straight down, foolish ninjas just trying to show their jank, show their mess, thinking that that's what we – doing so to distract us from our – mission, from our purpose, from our kingdom. The first and only reason to be in this physical is to obtain entrance into the kingdom to come. First and foremost, period, that's it. Everything else is lies and trickery, is distraction, it's snares. And if we don't stop entertaining them, well, I'll put it like this. If we stop entertaining them, what we will begin to see is the favor of the Father upon us. You know, for the life of me, I never understood why people love the Christian church so much based on the history that they have, based on their history, I never understood. You know, they always talked about church fathers, but none of them look like me. And, you know, they go, oh, yeah, you know, you had St. Augustine. But wait, that was Coptic, and he had sold out. You know, I mean, I'm not looking at this stage in the game for any type of leader. My leader is Yahusha. My leader is the Elohim of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not poor man Biden. It's not poor man. And why am I calling them poor? Because they are poor in spirit. These people are poor. They are impoverished. They have no riches in spirit. And you can tell, you can look at them. The older we get, we're looking, I mean, brothers and sisters are looking right. And I'll tell you this, those that are cleaving to us or those that are connected to us deeply are looking well, but the rest of them looking like hell. That's why it's funny. That's why they got all this, you know, this Kim Kardashian makeup stuff, this witchcraft of makeup to put on their face to look different. That's why you see these things where these women are looking like, you know, I don't even know. I just be nice, looking bad, and they put on makeup and they look completely different. It's like magic. It's like sorcery. It's like seduction. Witchcraft. So this is what they're doing now. This is why Hollywood can't come out with it. And here's the other thing. Somehow we are to believe that the Christian church and their father, the Catholic Church, has rights to Yahusha, rights to scriptures, okay? Now watch this. All of these horror movies, The Nun, Nun 2, Nun 3, Nun 4, Nun 5, you know, The Exorcist, you know, things is about Catholics fighting demons. Now, nowhere in the book do I see, I saw Christ, Yahusha, fighting demons once. Twice, you know, taking demons out. But it wasn't really a fight. It was like him saying, yo, get out of here. And they mad. Why are you coming messing with me while it's my time, your time, blah, blah. He's like, just get out of here. But somehow these Catholics and these priests and these nuns are out here fighting straight up demons. So it's interesting, you know, I saw the other day the Pope's exorcist. And I'm going, well, so this Abby has this demon, this strange, strong demon, and this demon is coming after the Pope's exorcist. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why would demons be coming after the church? Because if you are with Christ, they shouldn't even be able to touch you. They shouldn't even be, they can't even get close to you. Matter of fact, you would know them when they come and you would eradicate them. But no, not these Catholics and Christians. They running around with them, getting beat up, and then at the end and somehow, you know, and it's also interesting that they, which tells on themselves, because Yahusha Christ did not have any type of amulet or idol or piece of anything to force these demons out. He just went in, knew by the Spirit. See, we're in spiritual warfare, folks. We are in spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare does not look like Christianity and Catholicism. It just doesn't. That's not even a thing. Matter of fact, they are the vessels that are the conduit or the facilitators of the demons. Why? Because they will not acknowledge their evil. So all of this horror films and stuff, if this was a righteous nation, there wouldn't be no horror films. If they were righteous, a righteous institution, they wouldn't be showing themselves fighting demons, be showing themselves keeping demons at bay. There'd be no exorcists. There'd be no reason for exorcism. Because demons would not be able to inhabit man. But somehow, they think they have it all under control. They think that they know everything. You must come humble and as babes. But somehow, these Christians think that they know everything. Oh, well, I mean, well, you know, Jesus said. Well, really? Jesus said that? We know. I mean, you know, great point, Brother Judah made. I mean, is that all Jesus said? So-called Jesus? Is that all that he said in these 66 books? Is it? He ain't talked to nobody else. But somehow, again, the people who killed him, yes, the Hebrews were complicit in the death and destruction of Yahusha, for sure. And that's why we, the descendants of those people, those Hebrews, have gone in and out of captivity. That's what the book says. As a matter of fact, that's what all the books say. That's what all the scriptures say. But somehow, the people who stabbed them, gave them vinegar, you know, beat them, hung them on a tree, those people are somehow the righteous ones? Come on! When will we wake up to the fact that we are the people? That's it. We are the people, not because, oh, well, we black or this, that, and the third, but because of the way we think, because of our fruits. That's why we know that. That's why at this point in the game, our resolve, it's like we are building our temples now. Our temples are being built inside of us, and it's being built on rocks. It's being built on a strong foundation. Whereas now we get to see that these castles that we're used to, that we saw in the past as great castles on a hill, was a mirage. It was actually on the beach. It was actually on sand. Evangelicals, banned. Denominations, banned. Non-denominational, banned. Why? Because none of them tell the truth. None of them. Not one. Same thing over and over and over again. Nothing new. There is no growth, no understanding, no overstanding, no understanding, nothing. Mundane understanding, not even understanding, mundane discussions that really take you nowhere. Take you nowhere. That's why you're unedified. That's why the world is in the plight that it's in. Again, if the world was full of righteousness, if these Christians and these Catholics were righteous people, the world would not be in the dire straits that it's in. It would not, again, it would not be in the condition that it's in now. Those Israelis, well, listen, we all know they from Poland. This shit is not hard. You just gotta look at history. Say, Ashkenaz, Khazarian, Indo-Europeans are not from Palestine. And, you know, brothers and sisters, who's all about this Africa thing, I always want to talk about, you know, Judah. But what about the Northern Kingdom? I get so tired of listening to Gentile-minded people. I get so tired of listening to Negroes who only want to be Judah. It's 12 tribes. Not to mention, we don't even know the tribes that we're from. What we have to consider and ensure that we are doing is the will of the Father. That's it. He'll let us know what tribes we from. When we get up to the gate, and the gate, the kingdom's gate, is going to have all the tribes around. The 12 gates is going to be the name of the 12 tribes. So therefore, you'll know when you, which gate you go into will be the tribe that you go that you work from. Ain't going to be no Israeli tribe. Ain't going to be no 13th tribe. Ain't going to be no Danite tribe. I mean, this stuff is not hard. I mean, it's just really not hard. You know, and I battle what I want to say and how I want to bring it forward, and there's so much information. Father's like, nah, you ain't saying that. Nah, you ain't telling that. No, this is, it's only for you. This is your walk. You know, yes, I give you the opportunity to come talk to the people, but certain things you ain't supposed to tell them because that is not their business. That's your business, yours and my business. I'm talking to them. This is what the case is. Everyone has a mission and a purpose to be able to be on this walk. All of the mission and purpose that they have coming from the Father or is being shown through them by the Father is their business. That's why the camps, that's why, you know, everybody talking about it's everybody. See, you already know that those people are not the people. That matter of fact, majority of them are agents because that's what this world does. It sets up agents against the truth. Always has. So if you get somebody that's constantly telling you what you need to do and you need to love, do that and can't do this, you already should know by their fruits they are not of the truth. Because this truth is not set up for everyone to hear it. It's just not. That's why you can't get mad no more. You know, in the beginning, we get mad. I mean, you don't know. You don't want to listen to this truth. Nah, nigga, you don't know what you're talking about. You dumb. You always just want to culture appropriate somebody else's culture. You niggas ain't nothing. Y'all were savages. Y'all were just slaves. But wait. But isn't that what the Bible, your 66 books say? That Israel will be in captivity and go into the harsh bondage and yokes around there and no man will buy them. And you niggas ain't talking about nothing. Okay. And we sit there and go back and forth with them. Not no more. That's what I'm saying. Like some of the things that I've learned through my journey, you know, I'm allowed to talk about the testimonies, my testimonies. I'm allowed to talk about, you know, the macro of things. But when it comes to the micro, the things that for me and that he's teaching me and preparing me for, nah, that's my fruit. That's what you have to see. Matter of fact, you shouldn't even be worrying about my fruits. You need to be worrying about your fruits. You need to be taking care of you to bring the Father closer to you. Because best believe, these foolish nations are about to feel the pain. They have to. Justice is here. Again, old boy Thomas Jefferson, old Tommy, he said, indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just. That's different. Oh, God is love. Jesus is God. God, Jesus, love. When I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot, not won't, not will not, cannot sleep forever, that considering numbers, nature, and natural means only, a revolution of the wheel of fortune, an exchange of situation is among possible events, that it may become probable by supernatural interference. I mean, all that's to say that, listen, I tremble when I realize that these people's God's going to come back and put the wood to us. That's all he's saying. So they already knew. That's why it's like a running joke against us when we talk about our plight. You niggas ain't nothing. Because they can't let us get to the point where we gain our power, where we get to go, you know, we get let go to go and serve our power. Just like Moses, Pharaoh, let my people go so that they may go and worship their power. Now I ain't letting them go. This is what's been going on. Nothing new under the sun. We have pharaohs in our own life, individual lives. We got pharaohs in the collective lives. We got pharaohs in the spiritual. This is what the books we're talking about. We are in a spiritual war. And if you don't see that, shame on you. Shame on you, because you have to think properly to be proper. You can't sit back here and be mad at somebody or hate this and that, thinking because you ain't thinking properly. You might as well smack yourself around and roll in the dirt like the pigs. Because the thought that you think is who and what you will be. That's why that's the hardest thing. That's why they put all this debauchery in our face. All these sluts and these wicked things in our face, the non-modesty in our face, whoredom in our face, to distract us. And that's male and woman, man and woman. Money. Gog and Magog, you know, mammon. So as we think, as we grow into the spirit to help on the front lines of this spiritual warfare, we have to realize that we first have to think properly. Otherwise, we are no better than the foolish nation. So as we gain awareness, as we gain favor, as we gain the truth, as we gain understanding, understanding, overstanding, and as we gain success and blessings, we cannot forget that we're still on this walk. That one small pebble will trip you up and you will fall down the hill back to the broad way. And you have to find a way back. And that will be difficult at this point in time. But hey, who the hell am I? I don't know. All I'm doing is just, you know, talking. All I'm doing is, tonight, all I'm doing is talking. I really, you know, this Thomas Jefferson is the epitome of what's going on today, and I just wanted everyone to understand that, hey, do not, because favor is about to shine on us, do not take that for granted. Do not fall back into the narcissist of I, it's me, I'm making it happen. Do not forget your father who has brought you up out of Egypt, up out of bondage, spiritual bondage. Do not forget him. Do not forget our Elohim. We have come a long way. Ain't no need to be slipping into darkness again. Ain't no need to go down the slippery slope. Ain't no need for it no more. Ain't no need to bug out and entertain foolish people, to go back and forth with foolish people, to debate foolish people. There's no reason for it anymore. We've turned that corner. That's all I'm saying. That's it. Read. Study to show yourself approved. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Read it all. Understand it all. Take it all in. But do not forget, it is all for the Father's will. Don't get caught up in this black and white madness. Even the words, when I say these words, it's so backwards that it's ridiculous. So everything is about color? Who said so? The foolish nations. So when we realize that everything the foolish nation has done, we have to not do, we have to do away with in thought and in action, that's when we move forward. that's when we grow. And we've been growing because we've been doing that. We've been coming up out of her slowly but surely over the last 7 years. And look at us. Look at where we are. It's always been about us. Look at where we at. Some of us have been struggling, and we're finding great joy and great peace. We're feeling our rapture right now, while they are not. I mean, just be thankful, give all praises, all worship, all joy, all be grateful for the Father's will, for his mercy, because it endureth forever. Praise to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All praises to our Elohim. Be at peace, brethren, sisters, because our redemption is happening. Shalom.